Good evening, everyone. Our first song selection this evening, the song title as it's found in our books, We Will Glorify the King of Kings. This is 738 in our hymnals. Title in our books, We Will Glorify the King of Kings. 738 is the number.
We will glorify the King of Kings. We will glorify the Lamb. We will glorify the Lord of Lords, who is the great I Am. Lord Jehovah reigns in majesty. We will bow before his throne. We will worship him in righteousness. We will worship him alone. He is Lord of heaven.
The song that we will sing before we're led in our opening prayer this evening is number 569 in our hymnals. And that title found in our hymnals is Search Me, O God. It is the same song that you see on the screen. Search Me, O God, 569 is the song in our books.
Search me, O God, and know my heart today. Try me, O Savior, know my thoughts, I pray. See if there be some wicked way in me. Cleanse me from every sin and set me free.
Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we come to you again, thankful for the opportunity to meet tonight. Father, we are so blessed by all the things that you do for us and the ways that you touch us when we need you. Father, we are thinking about the folks that have lost loved ones recently, the Poe family, the Miller family. We pray that you will be with them, touch them, help them to heal from that loss. Father, we have many opportunities in our day-to-day travels that we can reach out and try to bring other people to hear your word. Be with us as we make those efforts. Help us to not be afraid and to reach out and take that first step. Father, as we go through the lesson tonight, be with us and help us to learn from it and apply it to our daily lives. Be with Doug as he brings that sermon to us. Father, we're so thankful for your son who sacrificed himself on that cross. Father, be with all of us and help us to be the Christians that you want us to be. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Our next hymn will require our songbooks in our hands. So if you would turn those to song number 378. That song titled, Just a Few More Days. Song number 378. Just a few more days to be filled with praise and to tell the old, old story. Then when twilight falls and my Savior calls, I shall go to him in glory. I'll exchange my cross for a starry crown where the gates swing outward never. At his feet I'll lay every burden down and with Jesus reign forever. Just a few more years with the toil and tears and the journey will be ended. Then I'll be with him where the tide of time with eternity is blended. I'll exchange my cross for a starry crown where the gates swing outward never. At his feet I'll lay every burden down and with Jesus reign forever. Though the hills be steep and the valleys deep, with the flowers my way adorning, though the night be low and my rest a stone, joy awaits me in the morning. I'll exchange my cross for a starry crown, where the gates swing outward never. At his feet I'll lay every burden down, and with Jesus reign forever. What a joy 'twill be when I wake to see him from whom my heart is burning. Never more to sigh, never more to die, for that day my heart is yearning. I'll exchange my cross for a starry crown where the gates swing outward never. At his feet I'll lay every burden down and with Jesus reign forever. If you would at this time mark our song of encouragement, that number that we will sing after this evening's lesson is 95. That song titled, Burdens Are Lifted at Calvary. Song 95, Burdens Are Lifted at Calvary. That's an encouragement hymn for later this evening. Once you have that hymn marked, before our lesson this evening, we will sing Will You Not Tell It Today? This is song 783 in our hymnals. Will You Not Tell It Today? Song 783.
If the name of the Savior is precious to you, if his care has been constant and tender and true, in the light of his presence has brightened your way, oh, will you not tell of your gladness today? Oh, will you not tell it today? Will you not tell it today? In the light of his presence has brightened your way, oh, will you not tell it today? Your faith in the Savior has brought its reward. Your strength you have found in the strength of your Lord. If the hope of his rest in his palace is sweet, oh, will you not, brother, the story repeat? Oh, will you not tell it today? Will you not tell it today? If the light of his presence has brightened your way, oh, will you not tell it today? If the souls all around you are living to sin, if the Master has told you to bid them come in, the sweet invitation they never have heard, oh, will you not tell them the cheer-bringing word? Oh, will you not tell them today?
have the privilege of being children of today, children of promise. Just as the Israelites were children of promise, and that's where we're going with this and how we want to find it. Our text is from Romans chapter 9. And if you'd like to turn your Bibles to Romans chapter 9, that's where we'll start in a moment. Romans chapter 9. And we're going to start in verses 1 through 3. Paul talks about here the sorrow that he had for the fallen Israelites, how the Israelites had been faithful to God, and yet still many fell and did not listen to or heed the word of God. Let's read verses 1 through 5. I tell the truth in Christ, and I am not lying, my conscience only bearing me witness in the Holy Spirit, that I have great sorrow and continual grief in my heart. For I could wish that I myself were cursed from Christ for my brethren, my countrymen, according to the flesh, who are Israelites, to whom pertain the adoption, the glory, the covenants, the giving of the law, the service of God, and the promises, of whom are the fathers, and from whom, according to the flesh, Christ came, who is over all, the eternally blessed God. Amen. Paul had great sorrow for those that are closest to us, closest to him, and we have great sorrow for those that are closest to us that have never obeyed the gospel as the Bible, the New Testament, teaches us. And Paul, the Israelites that Paul mourned over were people, his people. You remember Paul when he went out to different places? If there was a synagogue, he always started at the synagogue to reach out and talk to his people. And then he would go to the Gentiles. But Paul had great sorrow that that the Israelites were not, on the whole, turned to God, were not faithful to God. Of course, we know that many did in the beginning and throughout the early years of the church. But still, you know, we think about if there are millions and there are thousands that come to the Lord, you know, what that would mean to the people there. And I think about, when I think about the closest people that we have, I have three sisters that have passed that were not members of the church, that had not obeyed the gospel according to the New Testament. They were religious, but they did not follow the plan of salvation. And so I'm glad that God is a judge in all things, but still it's hard to know that these things happen. But I'm thankful that my parents were members of the body of Christ, and that they obeyed the gospel and followed what God called them to be and to do. But it is sorrowful when we lose those that are not that way. We'd do anything. Paul said, I'd do anything for them to save them, right? Paul said, I would gladly give up my salvation for them. What a sacrifice. What a sacrifice to say, if it would take for me to be lost so that they could be saved. Think about what we talked about this morning. What would that mean eternally? But fortunately, God did not demand that of Saul or Paul, and does not demand it of us. But that's how much Paul loved his people. And we'd do anything for them to be saved. My youngest sister, who was the last one to pass, we were one time was with her in South Dakota where they lived, and of course, she knew that I was a minister, a preacher of the gospel, and she said, Doug, I have a group of ladies that I study the Bible with, and we're studying the book of Acts. Would you come teach us some lessons from the book of Acts? Well, I did, and I talked about salvation and baptism. Afterwards, she was not pleased with me for doing that, but I said, did I teach anything that was not in the Bible? She says, well, no. You know, it's hard to do anything sometimes for those that you love that will not hear and will not care. It says, you know, Paul said that they had every opportunity. And are we think that we have to ask as we think about the people that we care about, is that are we giving them every opportunity to know the gospel? We can't force it. Cannot force it. People, they have to be willing to listen and willing to choose the good news. But I think that it's important for us to know that God is over all wanting them to be saved. God wants all people everywhere to be saved. God wants all the Israelites to be saved. God wanted course, all the Gentiles to be saved. God wants all people everywhere, the Bible tells us, to be saved. And God wants that for us, wants that for our world. And yet, so few listen to him and turn to him. Let's talk about Israel's history here for a little bit as we think about the called out people of God. Well, it started with Abraham, didn't it? It started with Abraham. God called Abraham, and God told Abraham to go to the promised land. He took his wife, and he took Lot and his wife, and of course their animals and stocks and their families that they had. And God came to him and told him, you're going to be blessed. You're going to have seed. Children from your seed are going to be blessed that are innumerable as the stars of the sky, of the sand of the seashore, that you're going to have a huge family down and through time. And so he started with Abraham, and then the early families. Of course, Isaac came along, and Isaac had Jacob and Esau, and that we know that Jacob was one that God chose when they went down in the promised land, before they went down into the promised land. And as they went down that way, of course, Joseph was the one that went ahead, not by the brother's plan to save him, but by the brother's plan to destroy him. And yet, by God's blessings, he led them down, redeemed them, gave them a place to live, a place, food to eat. But 400 years later, it says that the Pharaoh of Egypt did not know God, did not know them. And that's when the persecution really became heavy. And then God provided Moses. For 80 years, Moses, 40 years he lived in the palace, 40 years he lived, you know, outside of Egypt. And then God appeared to him in the burning bush, right? And God brought him and said, I've got a plan. We're going to save the people. And of course he did. He led them out of Egypt. Led them out of Egypt, and as he led them out of Egypt, he led them across the Red Sea, led them to give them Ten Commandments twice, because he destroyed the first ones because of their sins. But he delivered them out of Egypt. And then the judges came along, and as James had a really good class this morning on one of the judges were there because God wanted people. He raised up a man, and one time a woman, Deborah, to lead the people. And to deliver them from the people that they were in captivity to. And he led them, but the people would fall away. Another judge would come along. He'd lead them, and they would fall away, and so on, throughout time. Until finally, the kings came along. And the early kings, of course, we know as Saul and David and Solomon. And these men, Saul was faithful for a while, but then disobeyed God, and God chose David from a different lineage. And David came along, and he was a man after God's own heart, but he wasn't perfect either. But he did follow God. He repented and turned and tried to do what God said. And then Solomon. And Solomon asked for wisdom, and God gave it to him. And he was the wisest man, I would say, until Jesus came along. And, you know, God is using these men, these early kings, and yet still they were very human and very fallible. And then the later kings, for several hundred years, came along, some both in Israel, of course the northern tribes were split, the northern tribes and the southern tribes, which were Judah and Benjamin, called Judah as a whole. And some were faithful to God, but many were not. Many were very wicked, very evil, both in the northern tribes and in the southern tribes. There really was not a good king in Israel in the northern tribes, but there were some. In the southern tribes. And yet God is still calling them his people, right? The people of God, the Israelites. God still held on to them. And then in the time of Jesus, Jesus came along to show people, to deliver them from their sins and to bring them into the kingdom of God. And so that we could be a part of that kingdom and the kingdom, and so that we could be a part of the children of promise. Whew. History. Israelites had a lot of history, didn't they? They had a lot of history. But still, God held on for them. Well, who are these children of promise? Go back to our text, if you will, with me, please. And let's read verses 6 through 8. But it is not that the word of God has taken no effect, for they are not all Israel who are of Israel, nor are they children because they are the seed of Abraham. But in Isaac your seed shall be called. That is, those who are the children of the flesh, these are not the children of God, But the children of God, the children of promise, are counted as the seed. For if this is the word of promise, at this time I will come, and Sarah shall have a son. I read a verse too long, but that's okay. The word of God has not failed. God's word does not fail. God's plan does not fail. God had a plan through the Abraham, through the seed of Abraham, and it says that not of all of Israel is of physical descendants. Now, the Israelites would have just strongly disagreed with that. They didn't believe anything to do with the Gentiles whatsoever. But because Jesus came, he came to call Jews and Gentiles to be saved and come to him. And not all of Israel, though, was physical. Now today, we as children of God, and I'm getting ahead of myself a little bit, are children of promise. We are children of the seed of Israel. It says not the children of the flesh who are the children of God, but rather the children of promise are regarded as descendants. And so we're told in the Bible that we as Christians are children of the promise, that we have that promise because we are descended from Abraham. The promise goes all the way back to Abraham that through his seed, all the nations of the earth would be blessed. Not just the Israelites, but all the nations of the earth would be blessed. And we are a part of that promise. We are that promise to God. And so when we talk about today and talk about now about the children of promise, that's us. If we follow God and do what he says and walk in his way. He uses the example in our text of Sarah and Rebecca. Let's read on, and I'll back up and read verse 9 again and read down through verse 13. For this is the word of promise. At this time I will come, and Sarah shall have a son. And not only this, but when Rebecca also had conceived by one man, even by our father Isaac, for the children not yet being born, nor having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand, not of the works, but of him who calls. It was said to her, the older shall serve the younger, as it is written, Jacob I have loved, but Esau I have hated. God promised Sarah that she would have a son. Remember when that took place? When they were in the tents, and the angels went into Sarah, and they told her, and when she was 89 years old, that she was going to have a son. And what did Sarah do? She laughed, right? She said, oh, you got to be kidding me. I'm 89 years old. I don't think it says that, but I'm sure that's what she was thinking. Is this possible for me to have a son? And she basically, the angel says, don't laugh. You're going to have a son. And Rebecca then, when her time came, and Isaac's wife, God chose the twins, and he chose the younger one. Well, that wasn't right by their customs and such, that the younger one would be chosen. But why was that so? Why did God do this? Because God knew what they would be. God knows. Remember, did God know that Jesus was going to be betrayed? He knew. And he warned the people and warned him. And Jesus knew that when he chose him, probably, that he was going to be betrayed, you know, by Judas. And he was betrayed. God knew that Pharaoh would harden his heart. God knew. God didn't make it happen. God knew. Even though it was God's knowledge that took this place. And so God chose the one that would be right, and he chose Jacob. And he chose Jacob to be the one in where the promise would continue through. And it's important that we recognize this and understand that when God tells us that we are, you are my people, he says. Drop down to verse 25, if you would, please. As he says also in Hosea, I will call them my people who were not my people, and her beloved who was not beloved. And it shall come to pass in the place where it was said to them, you are not my people. There they shall be called sons of the living God. What was Jesus' title while he was on this earth? The Son of God. What does he just say that we would be called? Sons or children of the living God. You and I are sons and daughters of God. And that's got to be, for me, it's awfully humbling that we are called this and God calls upon us. He says, I will call these people who are not my people, my people. That's the Gentiles. Remember what happened that Jesus called them? He told Peter, showed Peter that the Gentiles were worthy. He sent Paul and Apollos, not Apollos, Paul and Barnabas up north to to that city up north there that they went to, Antioch. God sent them to Antioch. And then that's where the Jews, that's where that mostly Gentiles that became Christians. And they were first called Christians in Antioch. He called calling my people, who were not my people. They weren't. The Gentiles were not God's people at this point in time, before Jesus came. But now they are. He said to them, you are not my people. There they shall be called the sons of the living God. And we are called the sons of the living God today. We need to live like the called, the sons of God. We are the people. We are the called out. We are the people of promise today. You, brethren, it says to us in Galatians chapter 4, are the children of promise. Turn to Galatians now, if you would, please. The fourth chapter. And we'll start in verse 28. Galatians chapter 4, starting in verse 28. Now we, brethren, as Isaac was, are children of promise. But as he who was born according to the flesh then persecuted him who was born according to the Spirit, even so it is now. Nevertheless, what does the Scripture say? Cast out the bondwoman and her son, for the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir with the son of the free woman. So the brethren, we are not children of the bondwoman, but of the free. But notice what it says again in verse 28, that we are the children of promise. We've been born according to the Spirit. Remember what Jesus said in John chapter 3 when he was talking to Nicodemus? You will be born of the water and of the Spirit, right? Born of the water and the Spirit. And when we're baptized into Christ, we are born of the water and the Spirit. We're baptized in the water and receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. We are children of promise. We are valuable to God. God holds us in great value. Referring back then to Sarah, I remember Sarah had her maidservant that she gave to Abraham so he could have a child. And when they had a child that way, then she became angry and with him. And Abraham says, she's yours. Do with her what you want. And so they drove her out. And she was not the free woman, but she was the bondwoman. So then, brethren, we are not children of a bondwoman, but of a free woman. We are not born second nature. That child did not inherit the promises of God, did he? Isaac received the promises of God. Isaac did. And so we receive just as much as the Israelites do. We are born of the free woman, Sarah, and we have received the promises of God that we can be with him forever. We sorrow over those who will not choose God, as most of Israel didn't choose God. We sorrow over those that are in our families that are the same. We sorrow over those that are our friends and those that are around us, that are lost, that need to know God. God is telling us he has opened up the door of salvation to all who will choose him. God opens up the door for all, again, to choose him. But still, they must choose him. We must choose him. We are children of promise. We are children of salvation. What are the promises of God? Promises of God is Jesus came to seek and to save the lost. Jesus died on the cross so that we could have freedom and hope and eternal life. Will you choose God and accept his promise for you today? Won't you come to him now as together we stand and sing?
Days are filled with sorrow and care. Hearts are lonely and burdens are lifted at Calvary. Jesus is very near. Burdens are lifted at Calvary. Calvary, Calvary. Burdens are lifted at Calvary. Jesus is very near. Cast your care on Jesus today. Leave your worry and fear. Burdens are lifted at Calvary. Jesus is very near. Burdens are lifted at Calvary. Calvary, Calvary. Burdens are lifted at Calvary. Jesus is very near. at Calvary, Jesus is very near. Burdens are lifted at Calvary, Calvary, Calvary. Burdens are lifted at Calvary, Jesus is very near.
Is there anyone here this evening that has not had opportunity to partake of the Lord's Supper? In a moment, we will be dismissed with a prayer. Then we want to keep in mind all those that are on our prayer list. We want to keep encouraging them. For our members who are shut in, let's remember them in our prayers frequently, every day. For those that are maybe dealing with some things this day that haven't been in recent days, they should be included there as well. For our evangelistic effort, let's pray for its success, and let's pray for our diligence, our energy to make it a success. We know if we put our part into it that God will make it successful. We know that. So let's be committed to that work. Is there anything further that we need to make mention? If not, let's go to God in prayer.
Our Heavenly Father, it's always an honor to conclude the Lord's Day in service to you. May we always have this privilege in this great country that we live in. We're mindful, Father, of those of our number that have not been this fortunate today. Pray your blessing, comfort them. Sister Miller, probably she's not feeling well and couldn't be with us today. Bless her too. Bless the Miller family and the passing of James's cousin. Also bless Deborah's and the passing of her aunt. Bless them consolation, Father. We pray you bless us through the week, Father. Help us to always put you first in our lives, because that's the way you want it to be, and that's the way we should follow. It's always an honor, Father, to live in this country. We pray that all the wars can soon be ceased, so that we can live together in peace and harmony. Bless us all, Father, be with us. Give us a good week. Bring us back Wednesday night at 6. Forgive our sin and last save us in Christ's name. Amen.
Same exact number 2 weeks. Yes, it is.